Okay, we're back. Zach's here, Mike's on the board, and yours truly. So I wasn't going to talk about the Brady roast. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but now he's going on this mea culpa tour because he was just on a podcast yesterday, the Pivot podcast, talking about the collateral damage from his kids got and from his ex-wife, Giselle, and then his girlfriend, Bridget Monahan, got a little shrapnel too and everything. But
she
first,
got shrapnel? Bridget Monahan got shrapnel?
Well, you know, it was the jokes, not so much, know, the thing being brought up, you couldn't leave football, but you could leave your pregnant girlfriend and go, Nikki Glaser nailed her a good one. You know, so, but the funny thing was, the only time he got upset and when Jeff Ross was doing some jokes, he said something about Robert Kraft and his issues with the massage and everything, and Brady got up and said, cut it.
And I heard that wasn't true. That's not what he said, but I'm not sure.
Well, I did say something to it where, won't do it.
Cut that shit out or something.
Yeah, right. Basically that part of the thing. But
everything else is fine.
But I didn't see his part, Brady's. And he said that he went into a lot of people and ripped a lot of people and everything, and I didn't see his part of it because I haven't watched the whole roast yet.
I saw over 3 hours. Right?
Yeah, right. And I saw Kevin Hart, he went after Giselle, 8 hours a day, and she's still a white belt, Tom. What do you think was going on? That type of thing. And Jeff Ross, he got on a little bit, but he was saying, the kids were, but first of all, it's a roast. So what do you think they're going to do? It's not a testimonial dinner here, all these people are getting up and celebrating and just patting them on the back. It's a roast where you're getting professional comedians like Kevin Hart, you get Jeff Ross, you got Nikki Glaser and a ton of other people. Mm-hmm. And they're going at you. Even his own teammates, Julian Edelman ripped him, Gronk was there. But what do you, and other comics, what do you think is going to happen? How could you think you're not going to get smeared on this whole thing? It's crazy to me. But would you guys ever, they were going to do, said, hey, we're going to give you guys a roast. Would you want to even be part of that? Or would you just be like, I'll come and sit in the audience, but I don't want to be on the dais and I don't want to be the roast, the roastee, so to speak here. I wouldn't want to be involved in that in any way because it's not going to be good.
I used to want to, because it used to seem like that was fun right. And cool. I think now it's almost like they've gotten I guess there's always been celebrities, but there's too many people. If it's comics and it's good, if the jokes are good, it wouldn't really bother me that much if the jokes were good, but there should be some. So, don't go after kids, don't go after...
Well, he didn't... They didn't go after his kids, but the kids... Kids, how silly is he thinking they're not going to see it?
Yeah, I'm sure they were there, probably, maybe.
I don't think... Because they... I remember somebody saying... I can't remember who it was saying that they were worried that the mother and dad were going to be there. That was one of the things. And they were like, oh, geez, I'm going to go out there, and they're sitting right in the front row taking a look at what we're saying or whatever. You're hearing what we're saying about their son and stuff. That would be rough, but if you're ripping the, kids' moms or saying things like that, or maybe they don't even know all the details, of what's going on. It's just, to me, it's kind of a weird, I don't know,
I don't think if I don't know why Tom do Brady, it. I would agree to a roast. A roast of yourself is a lot different than, when you're that big of a public figure.
Yeah.
That has also had that many things happen to you, also years of things. You've got a lot of soft targets.
That's the other part.
I don't know if I'd want...
How far do you go with it? How much are you willing to take of it, too? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd want to sit there if I was... Let's say another big celebrity or whatever, sports fit. Michael Jordan wouldn't do it. There's no way Jordan would sit there and listen to 2 hours of people ripping him because he doesn't like to be... He likes to do the ripping, not...
Michael Jordan.
The rip. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's not going to do that or some of the other... Tiger, you figure anybody that's anybody that's big, a big celebrity or a big sports figure. I was shocked that he did it, but you know, but now he's realizing maybe I shouldn't have done this whole thing, and he can't put the genie back in the bottle now. It's out there, and like I said, he's doing these tours of it. But I know he got, like, rumors, whatever it was, he got $20 million that they were. I don't know if that went to a charity thing. I don't know if that's, if it was he just got the money personally. But I mean, he doesn't need money, Brady. And I don't know if it's like to change his image in a way, like make him more. I mean, he's going to be the Fox lead analyst this coming fall for the NFL. So, I mean, people know you. You've got millions of followers on whatever.
Everything.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what does he want to make me the common guy here that I can rib and take a ribbing? I mean, a lot of the stories are he's a great guy, a great teammate. Like,
yeah, I don't.
And like I said, I wasn't even really going to bring it up, but now he's doing like this, you know, of hindsight, but like who?
Then that also doesn't look good. I think that, you know, it's like you either do it and take your lumps, and even though I really don't think these are like, I mean, like they're, I feel more bad for like the fact that I think it looked bad that the only, if that is true, and I think that he got up for the Robert Kraft joke.
Right.
Nothing else, but like, you know, like all of that. You know, it just, it looks like, you know, well, what are your...
Yeah, where do you draw... I mean, because what are you going to get up every time somebody says something, though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Why would you agree to do that? It's just like, you
know... It's not like you're going to get clearance of every joke. I want, oh, cut this out or keep this or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not going to go and say, I don't want you to mention my wife or what happened before with Bridget Monaghan. I don't want you to mention my kid. And I think the kids would be off limits anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want you to say anything about that. But then what do you talk about? Like Deflategate, or, you know, you guys cheated, or you lost two Super Bowls to the Giants and one to the Eagles. I mean, what do you rip him on? You have to rip him on his personal life, because it's a roast. Mm-hmm. You're going to go after a guy, and that's what you do. And he's a powerful, you know, he's a well-known sports figure. It's not like he's just some schlub off the street doing it, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I could never do, like, a roast anyway. I don't tell jokes well. Like, if I had to rip somebody, I don't know. I don't even know.
Well, all these guys have writers.
Right.
They're not the comics. They're writing.
Right, but there's the comics that are, like, the good comics. Like, I'm sure Jeff Ross is doing his own stuff, but, like, where you think of it or how. I'll just be in the audience and watch this person get ripped. Not that I'd ever get invited to roast anybody anyway, but I couldn't think of things to do, or I'm not going to hire a professional writer to give me 20 jokes about this person who would know nothing about, because he's not a mm-hmm. or she's not a celebrity or whatever. But it was just, it just struck me as funny, as like who thought of this.
I think that that's more like I don't understand Brady's impetus to do this. Usually you do roast for not people who are like, you know, past their prime, but usually it's like the roast is like, you know, someone who's had a long career and has kind of, it's almost like it brings them back into relevance a little bit. Like, like Tom Brady's never left relevance or anything like that.
Yeah, especially because of the fact, like, he's going to be the Fox lead analyst,
exactly.
Like I said. And you know, he's getting what, you know, there's reports $30-35 million a year. It's not like he's hurting for cash.
Right.
I think the biggest roast will be is if he doesn't do well being the color commentator for the games, the analyst. If he screws that up, people are going to be like, oh, they're going to, that'll be where Brady's going to get roasted the most. Because if you're, like, when Tony Romo's first started, he was like, oh, everybody wants to be like Tony Romo. He got signed a big deal with CBS. And then now, this past year, he's getting like, what's Tony Romo doing? You know, like he went from like the top of the mountain to like, oh, God, this. Analyze the game for us here. So Romo kind of got, you know, the praise when he first started, and then he, as the more years he's been doing it, he's getting roasted every week, like people were crushing him. So he's going to get that every week. So why put yourself for 3 hours of it to do it? I don't know. To me, it was a weird thing. Like, his people around, he must have like a group of people around him, or to say, hey, this is a great idea, we're going to get you out there. But like you said, he's out there all the time.
He's out there
He's got his own podcast too, I think. Let's Go or something. He's got a podcast with Jim Gray's with it and Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know, you know. So and you know he's doing commercials now. He's all over now, Brady.
Yeah, right,
you know. So why, you know, just then to have to do this whole like, oh, poor, you know, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm sorry thing. It makes it look worse. You know what I mean? You're, like you said, let it go and just let it maybe just slink away. But I guess since it's on Netflix, you can get it any time you want or whatever. It's just crazy to me that he'd go go through and do that whole thing. I don't know. It's, to me, it's a very weird thing that he'd just be part of that. And it's not like I'm a defender of Brady. I mean, I like Tom Brady. I mean, you know, I did, you know, whatever. Obviously, we you know, he's Patriot. You're like, oh, God, again, they're winning or whatever. But I don't hate him. And now he's got his, you know, his other jobs. He's got commercials. He's all, you know, he does a lot of things.
Well, we talked about how it's like, you know, he just kind of discovered his personality in the last.
Yeah, right.
In the last.
Right. Thing. He was able to, you know, leave the Patriots and had a sense of humor now, but maybe he thought it would play well. I don't know. I just, to me, it was like a weird, a very weird thing. And then when you go and keep talking about it more and more, it just kind of like, okay, but you start thinking, why did you do it in the first place?
Yes.
You didn't think that this was going to be, like, if they're there and they're crushing you, and it's a roast, and you've got professional comics coming at you, you didn't think there's going to be some kind of thing said about you, or obviously you, but you're, he said that didn't bother him. It's just like, you know, the collateral damage, basically, of his kids and the whole bit. And I, you know.
Yeah, it just seems like, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. I just think, like, I don't understand Tom Brady's thinking with all of this, especially when you've got kind of some messy things. I mean, not only like, I mean, I did see the joke about, you know, the crypto thing, but like Sam Bankman-Fried, like there could be pending legal action against him, like
right.
And I think there should be against these people that did that, but like I wouldn't want that out there until stuff was settled.
Right.
You know, these things are still very much up in the air.
But nothing's off limits at these things.
So then I just don't understand why these people with these massive social media and public outreach and all that kind of stuff, you know, people, why you would allow to do that. So it's just more questionable on Tom Brady's.
Right. If you want to get yourself out there, do like a late night talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sure he could go on, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or, mm-hmm. you know, Fallon or Colbert or whatever and just
pitch some
joke around.
Do your thing. And be
right,
fine.
And say, but, you know, Fox doesn't have a late night show, so they can't promote him being their lead analyst
NFL.
Or on the NFL, so they don't have that. So it's just weird to me. I don't know. It was like, okay, it happened. It was a couple of weeks ago, and now it's still in the news. It's still percolating, and then you hear it. Yesterday, if I had to do it, like Mike said, if I had to do it all over again, you know.
Don't do a roast.
It's like crazy.
I can't really.
It's now, crazy to me.
Did you hear the news today that Netflix announced?
No, what's that?
Netflix is announcing that on Christmas Day, the NFL games will be shown on Netflix.
Right.
Yeah, for 3-year deal. They got that.
I just saw it today, so I don't know if that's old or new.
No, I knew that they were getting some guy. I didn't, because today, as we're doing the podcast, the NFL schedule release comes out. So they're making a big deal on the NFL Network, and we had talked about the NFL Network. There's nothing on the NFL Network except like old games or whatever. They don't have anything on that network anymore. So this is a big deal. They had the draft, and now they're doing the schedule release of when they play and who they know, like pretty much who they were going to play, but when you know there's going to be games in Europe and in Germany, the Giants are playing the Carolina Panthers,
and that will be a regular season game.
And there's going to be, I think the Jets are playing the Vikings
in London,
in Tottenham Stadium, and then there's going to be the Jaguars always go over there, but it's just like this is going to draw a lot of people because now they can make their vacations if they want to follow their team, where they're going to be at the end of the year, beginning, you know, middle of the year, where now they'll know exactly when they're playing, what time they're playing, what city they'll be in, or if it's a home game, away game, the whole bit. But as far as the NFL Network goes, other than that, there's nothing really on. They've let, like, they don't even do their morning show anymore. Not that I watched it anyway. Good Morning Football they had. They don't talk about any football. It's just old games and whatever, but this is the big deal. The draft was a big ratings for them, and this is a big deal for them. And it was announced today for Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are going to be on Hard Knocks this year.
Yeah. Oh, this is their first time, right? Or first time in a while?
You know, I don't really watch Hard Knocks, but I don't remember the Giants being on. They might have done it earlier on, but I watched maybe like the last episode of it, but I didn't follow it, you know, too closely.
Are they a particularly interesting team this
year? There's not a lot of celebs on the Giants, you know what I mean? I would thought it would have been the Bears because they got the number one pick, and you know, their team is on the rise now, and they want to get a new stadium built. I had heard that they had asked to be on it, but they picked the Giants instead. Now, why? You know, what are you going to do? Talk about Daniel Jones and his injury, or, you know...
I'm surprised they asked to be on. A lot of teams usually don't want to be on.
Right. I think the Bears are trying to get a new stadium built, so they're probably trying to get as much publicity as they can, but the Giants... I mean, they're in New York. They get a lot of pub, but basically this past year was because they were so bad.
Right.
And you don't know, like, to me, you know, I'll watch a little bit more maybe this year. Like I said, I really never watched, because they also do an in-season one. They did the Arizona Cardinals in-season. They've done the Miami Dolphins in-season. Like, I think it's on HBO, too, also where they just follow the team, like, halfway through the season or whatever. But I don't really, like, watch it that much, you know, that type of mm-hmm. thing. Because there's so much NFL news you get and whatever, and unless you're really going to follow the team. Like, I like the Giants, but it's not like, you know, what are they going to talk about? Well, we lost Saquon,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we signed our great receiver, but we don't know how well Daniel Jones is going to be and what we have, you know, and Brian Daboll.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to see a lot of him? I would just think the NFL, but whoever they'll put on, people will watch it anyway because it's something else, but I just never got into the
I remember years ago it was way better. Like 10 years ago it was like more of a thing. Now it's just kind of just going
yeah,
on.
And like, you know, what do they show? Like the guys that get cut, you feel bad for them, and the guys that one guy that makes the team that wasn't expected to make the team or whatever. But you're not going to learn a ton about them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what are you going to learn about the Giants? They're not going to show you warts and all about them, you know what I mean? The behind the scenes, what you'd want to see, how much are they going to give away? Well, this is our game plan for week one or whatever. I just never got into that. I think Steven watches it. I'm sure he'll
Steven
be.
Steven used to, yeah.
He'll be keen on it this year, I think.
We used to watch it together.
We all used to watch it together.
Yeah.
It is somewhat formulaic.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And, like, it's you get attached to three guys that are going to go, and then you meet the three guys that are going to stay. And, like, they show you, like, their families and, like, these guys that, like...
Right.
It's tough, yeah.
You could, like, pop in, like, from 3 years ago, 5 years ago. It's just, like you said, it's the very thing. You're going to see the one guy who's the established vet with the nice wife and family, and then the guy trying to make it, or the first round draft pick, and then did his mother come and live with him or stay with him to help him out or whatever. I don't know. I just kind of lost like steam to me, that whole thing. But today is the scheduling, so we'll know where everybody's playing, and the schedule release today. Yeah.
So that's what the NFL Network. You weren't saying that it's dead because things are going to other places, but it's the off season, so now they're just waiting for something.
Well,
so
it's like day. I mean, they have like no like afternoon show or something, like just talking about what news might be going on or anything. It's just basically games. Like I turned it on today for a little bit, and they were showing like the Super Bowl when the Ravens were playing the 49ers, you know, some years ago. So I'm like, well, okay, but there's news going on. Tonight's the schedule thing. I thought maybe they'd do a pre thing on that, like, and announce some of the games before, because some of the games have been let out. Netflix is getting them. I think Peacock's going to get some too. It's like, it's all over, like we've talked about before. The NFL is going to play on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. This year, which they've never played, only during the COVID thing did they play. They're going to play Wednesday. Then they're going to play the day after. They're going to play Thursday. They're going to play a Friday. Apparently, they're going to play a Friday game. They may play Saturday and Sunday. So, and then Monday. They're going to be like 6 days straight of NFL where it's going to just crush everything else. Because the NBA owned Christmas Day. That was their thing.
Mm-hmm.
now we're going to find out who's playing on Christmas Day, which I think it's out there, but I didn't, I forgot to jot down who it's going to be. But they're going to play and just dominate the ratings and everything. But it's just weird. The NFL Network doesn't have like a morning show. I mean, I watch a show called PFT Live, which is really good. It's 2 hours every day, and they talk about just anything. It's just football. It keeps you going and what, because then they take a hiatus around after the OTAs, the, you know, they bring them in, all the players come in for a little training, and then they leave, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a dead period where they'll go away for a while. The show goes on hiatus for a little bit, but the NFL Network's been on a hiatus for forever, and I don't understand it. You don't have a morning show, and they say they're, like, losing money. I'm like, you built these studios out in L.A. You had a studio here in New York where they did the show, and then they might move it to L.A. It's just weird to me that you're the NFL Network, and you don't have, like, a afternoon show just to talk about it or talk about each team or whatever. It's very strange to me. MLB goes on all year. The NHL goes on all year, and they have shows. And, you know, it's just, to me, if it's the biggest ratings draw for sports in America, you wouldn't just keep going, because people obviously would feed on it. If you're going to do a show tonight about the scheduling coming out, yeah. You know what I mean? And it draws a lot of eyes to it. It's a very popular show. It's just, but
the NFL Network, did they cover the draft? Was that?
Oh, yeah. I watched it on the NFL Network.
So how could they be losing money if this is like the biggest draft that ever happened?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I think they because they cut some personalities from the show, they from the network, they let some people go and whatever, because they're always looking to cut costs, apparently. The
NFL. Well, same with ESPN. They've gotten rid of
They have let some people go also at ESPN, and I know it's tough, but you're the biggest sport in America by far. Mm-hmm. You know, it was close for a while with basketball, but now they're just lapping everybody. But I'm saying you could do, like, just... Even if it's a couple hours, it's just something fresh rather than watching old game after old game or, you know, a pro football life. I mean, you know, and they're not even new. They're like from 10 years ago. You know what I mean? So some of these guys that they were doing then have already, passed away. They don't even, like, update it or whatever. I'm like, you know, what are you going to watch here? You know, I like to watch a little, you know, catch a little football, see what's going on or whatever, but... They just don't do it. But
the Christmas Day games are the Chiefs at Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And then the other one is the Ravens at the Texans.
Ooh, those are good games for Christmas Day. That's not bad. That's Wednesday. So that's Christmas is on a Wednesday, and then they just got games, like I said, the whole way through. But they don't. I mean, look, when you're talking about the NFL, once the season starts, that gets the most coverage out of all of it. Like, you don't even. In some markets, you don't even know that, oh, basketball did start or hockey did start or whatever. It just owns it from September or basically the middle of July till February when the Super Bowl comes. Mm-hmm. They get the dominant amount of coverage. Like, you don't have a NHL showing you, like on the NHL Network, hey, schedule release.
Yeah.
Look at this back-to-back game in the middle of January. You know, the Devils are playing the Rangers back-to-back. You know what I mean? It's not...
Yeah.
Like, they...
It's just tougher with 82 games.
It's true. It's
because the NFL...
But you would think, okay...
Every game means more.
They could maybe say, oh, look at this... Or look at our special holiday games. We've got this playing or this playing on another sport. They can't do that. I know they're longer, but say, oh, here's a good one that, you know, or a good week for this team or a block of this team. For the NFL, like you said, it is 17, which will soon enough go to 18, and then I guarantee you in 5 or 10 years it'll be 20 or 22. They'll be playing as long as they can play, as long as they're making money. But speaking of playing as long as you can, Mike and Zach, your Rangers are on a roll here. I mean, they lost, but they were 7-0. They've lost a couple. Are we worried? Tomorrow night is the clinching game. The Rangers win tomorrow night, they clinch it, Mike. Are you optimistic? Are you worried? What do we got here? Where's your feeling about the team right now?
I think that no team has ever gone 16-0 to win.
Correct.
So, I mean, you don't win the Stanley Cup if you don't face any, you know, adversity and how you overcome that. I think the Rangers, at least... Nobody especially not me. Nobody really expected them to double sweep to win four games in a row. Right. So when they lost the game in Carolina, I thought that was fine because you just split the road series. Right. The fact that you won one on the road was good anyway. Then you go up 3-0 and then, you know, 3-1 going back to MSG. The game in MSG losing 4-1 was very tough. I mean, but the game was 1-0 and going into the third period, Rangers. But I think Carolina realized in their locker room this is going to be our last period of hockey of the season if we lose, and they just came out and they were a step ahead of the Rangers. But
right,
I mean, I'm not necessarily overly concerned in the sense that I thought that this series would go 7 anyway. Like it's going to the sixth game, but I mean, Carolina was the fourth best team in the NHL,
right?
Second best in the East.
Yeah,
this was, like I said the last time, this was like the Eastern Conference Finals to me. Not like Florida's bad, not like the Boston Bruins are bad, but this was the team I was most worried to face out of anybody. So to be up still 3-2, I mean, both teams have now lost on the road.
Right.
So going to Carolina for Game 6 doesn't mean much to me. The Rangers won a Game 7 in Pittsburgh, you know, 2 years ago.
Right.
To advance. So playing on the road doesn't necessarily scare me either. But we'll see. If they lose this game and go 7, then I'll be worried, because then you won 3 and then you lost 3 and then Carolina's right. got the momentum. Yes, if they do go 7, New York has the home ice advantage. But right. if you saw the photo when Trocheck scored the overtime goal at the Garden, it was that like iconic photo of all the Rangers crowding him, plus the fans were there, and it looked crazy.
Mayhem,
But then you, you know, counteract that to when they were leaving Game 5 and they were booed off the ice by the fans, so it's two right. totally different games there. So
I thought that was rough. I mean, that third period was awful, and it reminded me scarily enough of like that felt stereotypical Rangers. You know, the Rangers that I remember, that's like,
yeah,
oh God, they're rattled. The thing that has distinguish this team for me from other Rangers teams, and you know, Michael follows them even more, but this team, it's like they could be down 5-1, this team, and I feel like, oh, they'd always find a way back.
Right.
They were not finding, pucks were not connect, passes were not connecting.
Right.
Nothing was getting on net. I mean, I think they went a very long series where they didn't have a single shot on goal in that late second to early third period. The penalty kill, the power play was not there.
Right.
It was tough to watch. It's
funny, the penalty kill has been better than their power play of recent. When their first game, they scored 2 goals in 23 seconds and a total of 2 power plays. But then they have since scored 2 shorthanded goals and not have scored on the power play since that like game. So
That's always a thing. I didn't mean to cut you, but that's the thing about like the power play. Like it's a special teams part. But sometimes, like, it just as much as it clicks, all of a sudden, like, do I pass? Like, instead of taking that shot, maybe I'll make the extra pass, or I'll take the shot where I should have made the extra. You know, it's weird how it could click for so long, and then all of a sudden it just goes away.
You
also
have players who, I mean, you practice on the power play, but you have right. guys who are on different lines together,
correct?
Together, and it's those guys are playing a lot because those are your first and second lines, and right? That, it's tough. I mean, I think Carolina figured out the power play for the Rangers to their credit. I mean, Carolina isn't a bad team, like, and so they definitely figured it out a little bit. But then it's funny that they got twice scored on shorthanded. But it's funny, some analysts will say that going into the playoffs, the special teams doesn't matter. They'll say that, but then other analysts will say, well, special teams will win you titles, like that. So it's like, it's so double-edged sword with that some people say it doesn't matter, some people say it does. I think it's like, you need to be good. Like, you don't want to be going into the playoffs, you know, on the bottom of the league, on, like, the penalty killer, whatever. Right. But, like, it really, Carolina was the second best. They were, like, the second best power play and second best penalty kill in the league. So they were top 2 in both aspects. And then of the, I don't know where it stands after that last game against the Rangers, but up until that game, of the 16 teams to make the playoffs, even with the ones eliminated, Carolina ranked last in both of those, penalty kill and power play.
Really?
So it mattered until it didn't.
Right.
But then it mattered when they scored a power play goal against the Rangers in game 4 to then go up, you know, by one goal with 3 minutes left, and that won them the game.
Right.
So it's like it matters until it doesn't. I mean, the Rangers, they're the best power play. I mean, speaking of Carolina again, the second best in the league. And the goal going into that third period, the one goal that the Rangers had was shorthanded against the Carolina, you know, so
which
it's
is their
like,
best.
Yeah, so it's
one of the best parts of the game.
So it's like I don't want to be overly concerned. It does remind me of Rangers teams
right.
of old, where it's like, but they did have they had 28 come from behind wins this season, which was tied for an NHL record. They had, I think, 4 in the playoffs alone, bringing it to like that they something of like if you combine regular season and playoffs, like they're in like the top 3 of teams of comeback wins. So it's like if this team does get down, I'm not necessarily worried, but when you start seeing people not performing or not playing up to their capabilities, then you get a little nervous. I mean, is Igor going to let in 4 in a period again? I doubt it. Is
right.
Panarin going to go another, you know, 2-3 game skids without getting a goal? I hope not, but
right.
you know, that's I don't want to say I'm necessarily nervous, but you know, this was the toughest team I thought to face in the East. You can't look at it. Jalen Brunson for the Knicks said a game, you can lose a game by 1 point, you can lose a game by 30. It has
nothing
to do with the next game. The Rangers need to, with the Knicks, you know, Garden connection, they need to realize and look at that and be like, doesn't matter. Carolina was down 3-0.
Right.
And now they're 3-2, but we also can't look at it as we lost 2 in a row.
Yeah.
We're up 3-2. We have 2 games to win
one.
Just go get one.
Exactly.
It is frustrating to see. I mean, of course, that was a tough game, and I think everyone was mad, but it is frustrating to see. I think Rangers fans got kind of spoiled and started to think that they were going to sweep again, and I just don't think that's realistic, and I think that there was a little bit. Like I think the air went out of the Garden a little bit too fast. I was pretty amazed they pulled Igor with, I think, 6 minutes left in the third period. But, like, the things I'm concerned about, Igor kind of seems like a guy who gets in his own head at some points. I hope that this doesn't, because there was all those, like, stats before, you know, when the NHL or any sport needs to, like, talk about stats, that he's second place for letting in less than 3 goals in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, Jonathan Quick had 34 games of 3 or less goals, and then Igor's second now with 30, but then, of course, the game before that ended that streak.
Right.
But, yeah, the 2 Rangers goalies now, obviously he didn't do it with the Rangers Quick, but the 2 goalies on the Rangers have the longest
the
3 or less goals.
It seemed like when it was then he let in that 4th, I don't know if that had all gotten to his head, but it just seems like, oh, no, now it's happened, and in those past 2 games, Igor in that third period didn't play like we've seen him playing in other periods, but also there was a lot of breakdowns and just a couple of bad bounces too, just went the right way for the Hurricanes. Not saying that they didn't do good, but they caught a couple of lucky bounces, and that's all it takes. That puck.
Well,
luck.
Sometimes it's better when you to go on the road after you've had a stinker. You know what I mean? So you got. Okay,
yeah,
there's no pressure. I don't have to.
They're playing every other day now. They've had
right.
an extra day as
well. Yeah, the extra day off
Thursday.
Too, which is a good thing. But they do have, and you brought up the Knicks. They got blown out, and then everybody's like, "Well, they're done now."
Yeah, it was
Indianapolis
a
is a, you know that, the
yeah.
Indiana Pacers are better, and then all of a sudden the Knicks come back and blow out. You know, so Matt, there is a little magical that's coming back, but it also has to do with the players, and they're grit. Both teams are gritty.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Knicks. Well, they don't have anybody left. They're all hurt. They're injured. They don't have what it takes. You know, it's unfortunate. And then they come back to the Garden. Now they're going on the road. They're Rangers. They see what happens, but they know that they've got that security blanket and that crowd. If it is a 7th game, won't be booing them or whatever. It's going to be an intense time for sure. No doubt about it. It's going to be crazy at the Garden. But that's the thing about the playoffs, you could throw everything out. I kind of disagree with with the whoever was saying that the power play, like, to me, whenever you've got a team, like, even if you don't score on the power play, they're throwing their lines off. They got guys going out there, even if, because if you're trying to hold a lead, you're on the power play. If you're behind, it's perfect to try to, because you got one guy out, you may have him out for like 2 minutes, could be 5 minutes or whatever. But I think it's important. The power play is always, I mean, if you can dominate on that, on the special teams part, but the Rangers are just, I mean, I feel confident they're gonna beat the Panthers, I mean, the Hurricanes, and then go on. Because this Boston-Florida series is...
Well, Boston kind of saved us because I was rooting for Boston last night because...
they won last night. I feel like the reason... Right?
Yes, and that extended the series because the Panthers were up 3-1 with a chance to beat them. I think what happens with New York sports especially is that it's been so long since the team has won. And so there's just that, like, nerves and terrifying, like, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's what it was with the Rangers fans, like, booing them. Yeah, because it felt like, oh, now we went up and then we couldn't sweep. And then, okay, now we couldn't win in five. Because the perfect, obviously, like, the sweep aside, if you could get eight in a row, is crazy. But... knowing that you weren't going to win that, but then if you can go back to the Garden, win in five games, and then Boston wins last night, then you're again after the first round and now after the second round. You're rested, you're already on to the next team, you're on to that, and then you're watching Boston and Florida beat the hell out of each other, and that's helping you out. What I think, you know, what got into Rangers fans' heads was now... we lost in game five. Now we got to travel again to Carolina. Now if Boston loses, like, you know, which they didn't, but if they did, then Florida will be waiting on us. And then, you know, there's already Rangers fans are looking ahead to, well, we're going to lose in Carolina, so, you know, we got to get ready for game seven and that, and how long is the series, even though I don't think that it's a destined thing to lose in Carolina.
No, I think they're going to...
I mean, they won in game three in Carolina, so it doesn't matter clearly where you play. And they won the two games in Washington in the first round. But it's like, it's again, it's in the New York, like the same thing with the Knicks, same thing with now even like almost the Giants have gone on, or even, you know, the Mets, especially with that New York sports teams. It's just like you're watching, you're always, Rangers, not even Rangers, New York fans are watching because they're like, oh God, when's the breakdown?
When's the other shoe going to drop?
When's the breakdown?
When you haven't won, then you start thinking, oh, here we go again. Until, like, they were, like, going back to the Knicks. Oh, well, now they're done. Brunson's hurt. They don't have everybody back. They're not going to get it. And then they come back to the Garden, and they blow out the Pacers. Now, the Rangers, you know, but there was always the, oh, well, it, you know, they're done now, whatever. The same thing you could hear, like, Ranger fans, you know, it's been since 94.
Yeah.
To win the Cup, you're like, uh-oh, here we go. You can't ever get too confident. You know, because you never know when this could happen, whether it's going to implode. But, you know, they were the best team in the league the whole year. I don't think pressure is going to bother them. You have a couple of and like you said, you're not going to win eight in a row. No. You're not going to win, you know, they're not going to go, like you said, 16-0. Things happen, and that's when you test your team. And they've been through losing streaks during the year, though, right? It's not like, well, they won, like, you know, 20 in a row or whatever. So it's the psyche of, in the locker, you know, we can write or try to analyze or whatever, but it's the guys in the locker room that go, all right, let's just take a step back and relax a little bit here and just think about what got us here and what we have to do, and they'll come out. And there's no pressure of being at home either.
And some of them were saying some of the right things. I feel like Kreider said, he's like, if you told me to start the series that we'd be up 3-2 with a chance to, you know, two games to win one, he's like, you know, this is, and which I feel like is the right mindset. Yeah, you lost two in a row, but you can't think like that. You're up 3-2 to the second best team in the East,
right?
And you have a chance to, you have two chances to close it out, like, you know, hopefully only, you only need the one,
right?
But
exactly.
It's like, you can't be thinking about the two games you just lost.
No,
you gotta, Carolina was playing to keep their season alive.
Yeah,
and to get that fourth game win is the toughest thing.
It is.
It, like, no matter, the fourth win is always the toughest. And again, prior to that, you won 7 in a row. It wasn't always going to go that easy. Now, win or lose in game 6, Rangers, you're going to see the team that the Rangers are actually.
Well, that's where it was very frustrating to see kind of the Rangers fans. Only because, I haven't watched every game, but I haven't seen, you know, other teams booing their team that much. I thought it was pretty harsh, and I thought, how could we expect this? And it became like that self-fulfilling, like,
well, it's frustration.
It's frustration. Listen, what it is. I get it, but like, we have fans have been here before. We've been here for 30 years of this. Like, let's you know, stick it out a little.
They wanted to see the clincher.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what it is. And you guys got to hear from me, you know, being the fan, that hey, I came here, you guys laid an egg, at least, you know. But like you had said earlier, it doesn't matter if you lose by one or you lose by 30, you still lost. You can look back to the 30-point loss and go, well, if we made some free throws here, if we, you know, or if we, you know, or if we just played a little bit better or didn't give up that one penalty and they scored on a power play. You know, that's the thing about the hockey or any sport when you play.
I mean, Carolina could be looking they lost two games in overtime.
Right.
Yeah. Carolina could be looking like one goal.
We should be. Yeah, should be. This series could be over if you look at it that way, too.
That's very much it. You know,
you think about it.
And I think it was, because it's Trouba in that picture, that when everyone's the famous picture. When
Trocheck.
Trocheck.
Yeah.
Trocheck said the right thing after that. He's like, this is game two.
Right.
Like this is going to be forgotten next game. And like, that's kind of the mindset that we have to have, is like, you know, because we had two I'll say that the game in Carolina, the Rangers fought back. That was a good game. It sucked out.
Came
down.
A late game.
This was the first time I thought the Rangers didn't play great, and that was or well was in that third period. But you play three periods of hockey, they have to play all three, and I think sometimes the Rangers, I can't say so much this team, but the Rangers do a little bit better not in the lead. We have a chip on our shoulder. We don't like being the...
Well, I feel like what helped them too, like to your point, is that they were the best team in the league. President's Trophy, all that, just swept the Capitals, and they were the underdogs by all the props going in against Carolina, which they finished with a better record head-to-head against Carolina after the regular season. They finished with a better record in the NHL against, you know, not, you know, like the record I was saying before, like head-to-head games against Carolina, the Rangers won more. The Rangers had the best, you know, record in the league. The Rangers had swept their series before, and they were still underdogs, and that almost, I feel like you said, helped them. Like, they won three games in a row to Carolina to be like, we're the underdogs? Like, we're the best team in the league. But now they have to, again, it may be they need to dig deep and be like, we lost two in a row. Let everybody think it's over and that the Rangers are collapsing and all that. And then you go into, like I said, the Rangers have won multiple Game 7s away. They have one of the best records in Game 7s. Not like I know that a Game 7 would be in Madison Square Garden. Right. I just mean, like, they have no problem winning on the road.
But they can look at this as a Game 7, the Rangers.
Exactly. That's what.
So, you know what? Let's not leave it to a Game 7.
Exactly.
Let's come out. But
I think that's the mindset you got to have. This is Game 7, like, quote unquote, and you go into Carolina.
You talked about Carolina earlier saying, hey, we lose this, we're done. So we got nothing to lose. The Rangers can think that way, but in the back of their minds go, but we still got one to go. Yeah. But why don't we just bring it out and show them, like,
and I don't think any Ranger or any hockey player would think that
they want to end it.
Yeah,
everyone
they
want to end.
They want that.
They don't care about winning it at the Garden, or they don't care about winning it. Oh, we'll
probably, after they got booed out of the Garden, they'd probably be happy to win it on the road, and then just, you know, take a breath, a rest, and then you go back for a next series to start. Yeah,
and then exactly. And we rile, you know, and the fans can think, well, we booed them off the ice, so we had something to do with that. You know how fans get, you know what I mean? Like, because they're there and going,
we don't, but we do. I didn't like to see it as a Rangers fan. It was bummer.
But it goes to, too, like, the mental part of the game, too, like in any sport. Because now it's even more, I think, because there's the social media. In-game, you're getting slammed. You know what I mean? People are like, not that you're reading it when you're playing it, but people are going, can you believe they let in another goal, the Rangers?
Well, they mentioned it too a lot in the broadcast with the iPads on the bench, in the sense that, like, when you go and you have a breakaway, break towards the net, and you miss, then not only are you, like, you know, a normal player is thinking about the whole time, but now you can literally go and watch how you screwed up.
Right.
And some people use that as beneficial. Okay, maybe the goalie went down here. Maybe I could have went up or whatever. Right. But other people use that as now you're just... I remember in the playoffs 2 years ago, not last year, 2 years ago, when Zibanejad had a breakaway and missed. And he kept going over and over, and Kreider took the iPad and slammed it down.
Right.
And he was like, he's like, you're good. And they were asked, like, what'd you say? He said, he was like, you're one of the best in the world. You're going to get the next one.
Right.
And it's like, like you said, the social media does play an effect in it. Like the picture went everywhere. The Rangers, it's hard not to, even though Trocheck said the right things, it's only game two, whatever. It's hard not to feel like you just won the cup after seeing that stuff. It's, you got to, you know. The social media, the fact that you can replay everything that just happened to you, it doesn't
matter. Technology is so, like, baseball players look at their swing, like, if they're DHing, they're in the clubhouse part, there's a part where they can go in, and they look at what the pitcher's throwing, and they try to time their swing to it. Sometimes there's so much technology, it's still got to just come down to my best against your best. If I shoot it, you stop it, that's on you. If I shoot it, you don't stop it.
No amount of technology or anything is going to get your stick to be in the exact right place as a puck, a couple inches wide.
It's
coming here, and you can deflect it. Just so much of it is luck and placement and skill. And
exactly,
it's how could you not be in your head at all this? And I just hope that the Rangers
And you're thinking, oh, if I make this or whatever, that one, like, because you're still human. No matter how much technology you have, it's still a human's playing the game. So something could just trigger it, or
how could you not want to be the guy who becomes the next Ranger that's lifting the cup? Who's not thought about themselves skating around?
They'll be heroes forever.
The Messier lifting the thing up that we see in every package. What I couldn't and like I think about me doing that, and I don't skate. These guys are Rangers; like they could do this. How could that not be in your mind constantly?
In history forever.
Yeah,
winning one of the original six, you're winning the Stanley Cup. I mean,
New York.
In New York. 30 you know what
years
I mean?
The narrative's too much.
You don't forget, you don't forget it regardless of where you win it, but if you win it in New York, it's a bigger. And then you're thinking, you know, not that they're thinking it on the ice, but, you know, the parade's going to happen. You're going to be the kings of the city. And if the Knicks can pull it out against, you know, the Pacers, the Celtics aren't the greatest team either. They're a good team itself. They're not saying it, but the Knicks have a good shot if they get to the conference finals too. So can you imagine what Madison Square Garden or what the city's going to be like? Rangers in, Knicks, you know, in the conference finals, the Rangers.
And also with that too, both of them, it'd be you get to the next round, it's a clean series then.
Yep.
Rangers winning game six, you don't need to worry about the fact that you were up 3-0 and then it got to six games.
No.
It's a clean slate now, you're onto another team.
It's just another team, and a team that you played before, and you know, exactly.
And I think one thing that helps, like this team, and I hate to say it as a Ranger who watched, you know, as a Rangers fan who watched the Kings beat the Rangers.
Right.
Jonathan Quick, they said, has been very vocal in the locker room about, because the Kings and their run and that they had when they ended up beating the Devils for their first cup, they were down in the first round 3-0, and they were one of four teams ever to come back. But then he was also on Vegas last year, where they had a 3-0 lead, and they blew that lead, but got to Game 7, ultimately won their Game 7, obviously, because they won the Cup. But he's talked about to the media, he's talked about as a team, he's been on both ends, he's been one of four teams ever to come back, and he's also almost had that happen to him.
Yep.
And so the Rangers are on the, you know, they're going to Game 6 when they had a chance to sweep, and so the thing is, none of that plays effect, and I feel like the Rangers have a good system in place that I'm not necessarily as worried about this team as some other fans are.
Well, you know, we had talked about it earlier, there's a good mix on this team, too. They've got youth, but they've got experience, and it's hard to believe that since you like Kreider, now he's like the elder statesman. Not that he's old, but you know, he's been through a Stanley Cup. He's been through.
That's how he started.
He's been through the highs. He's been through
12 playoffs is when he first started playing.
Because he finished with Boston College and he skated. It was the first round of the playoffs. He skates on today. I'm like, who's this kid?
Right.
And he's now.
And now you've been in the wars for, you know, we've been in the joyous part of it, you know, getting to the Stanley Cup. Then the the ultimate low for a hockey player, obviously, losing the Stanley Cup and not losing it being blown out. You've lost in overtime or whatever. But you have the experience. You got Quick, like you mentioned. You got players that are like, hey, one game, it's always one game at a time. You can't think two games, well, if we win tonight, we're off for 3 days. Or if we win, you know, if we lose this, oh my God, now we got to go back home and they've got the momentum. And, you know, so it's extremely difficult to win. You know, when you're playing series after series, too. Like, the NBA is a long series that, you know, to win the championship. You've got to go through different rounds, and you're playing 4 out of 7. It's not easy to play.
Yeah, but and I also think, too, a little bit of it is, like we talk about the rest and all that kind of stuff. It's like, I think it's just pure adrenaline. Like at some point where it's like, it would help. But you've seen these teams grind out and grind out and grind out. It's just a battle of wills at some point.
No, I'm saying, like, the only thing is, if you get that extra day's rest, if somebody's banged up a little bit or whatever, you don't like a week like off between, you know, I mean, that could throw your, make your rusty and your rhythm off. But the sooner they can clinch, and I'm sure they'd love to do it tomorrow.
We all love that.
End it.
Which
and
they will.
Right. And we don't have to think about it, because Mike is... Oh, you know, by the way, he is going to Myrtle Beach. So he's already going to be...
And
he's
of course, I did the calculation in my head that if, like... And they won't, but if the Rangers do end up losing Game 6, it will be Saturday. And I will be in Myrtle... I was like, I will be in enemy territory.
You're in South Carolina?
While they are playing at the Garden, but...
well, they just got to find a sports bar, Mike.
Yeah.
You got to find a sports bar.
In Carolina.
Yeah. They do play in North Carolina, but it's supposed to be the Carolina Hurricanes for both. So
I'll tell you, when I was in D.C., and I was like, I was thinking, like, there's no way the Caps are going to make, like, they're not going to make it in. But every bar or everything that I saw, Caps fit. It's big downs. I was surprised at how loyal and devoted those fans were. They were hyped.
Well, there's a base. I mean, you can always find a... Yeah. I'm sure if you looked, like, I know, like, on Saturdays, like, during college football in New York, there's different sports bars for different teams. Like, there's a bar you go if you're a Notre Dame fan, a bar if you're a Texas Longhorns fan or whatever. I guarantee you, probably, there's one bar somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, like, not that you'd have to drive.
Well, a lot of the... I mean, both... times, a lot of the crowd were Rangers fans in Carolina.
Yeah, you'll hear more transplants.
They say they're one of the... They're the best travel team, the Rangers.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's just hope that for my sanity and everybody else's that I am not in Carolina while they're playing their last game. I just want it to be done in 6. But I think every Ranger fan and every Ranger player feels the same way, so.
Yeah, I'm not itching for the narrative of a Game 7.
I don't need a Game 7 win in the Garden. I don't care about that. Winning at enemy territory and just go home.
You know, it was funny because you had mentioned, Mike, one time that if you had gone to a Carolina game in the playoffs, your airfare, the tickets, and the hotel would be cheaper than going to the Rangers.
Oh, yes. That still holds true.
And it's funny because there was this, they did this thing about, you know, because Taylor Swift still dominates. And this, they interviewing, like, for some reason, they were interviewing somebody at the airport, or they were talking, like, somebody was coming in from the airport, the story goes, and he gets in the cab, and he goes, wow, it's crazy here. And he goes, we've had more people coming from France, families that went to see Taylor Swift, that were cheaper to go see her in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
To spend time there.
Because,
Trying to get tickets here in America. There was like a mom, a daughter, the dad, the mom, and the daughter. They all went to France. Well, and he said that the airports are jammed with people going to the tour.
That could be a whole podcast in itself, and it goes because of European sanctions and stuff, like laws against like Ticketmaster and stuff like that for fees on tickets.
Yeah.
And the way they stop resellers and scalpers. Because technically... If Taylor Swift, you know, is coming to, let's say she's playing in MetLife and you want to go see her, if you were like one of the people who got the tickets like on the day they dropped and you bought them, they're not that expensive. The problem is that they get bought up and are resold. And then, of course, all the fees and stuff on top of that, especially if you're buying through a secondary site.
Yeah.
So, it's funny because, like, it is cheaper. Juliana's a big Swiftie. Right. So, there's a lot of, like... you know, it's cheaper if you wanted to go to, you know, London or Paris or wherever to go watch it than if it than if she's playing right down the road. But also, not to, because you brought it to, this is not have to really do with that, but with the fees at the Garden and all that. I was jokingly looking at tickets for Game 5 for the Rangers. Not like I could have made it with anything. But my trip to Myrtle Beach was cheaper than tickets at the Garden.
To get two tickets for the Garden?
Yes. No, not one ticket.
Really?
My trip to Myrtle Beach, I'm talking like, you know, obviously I didn't pay for like, you know, food and all that, but like flights, hotel, all that stuff, you know, baggage, everything with that was cheaper than what I was looking for, nosebleed seats for Game 5 in Round 2 against Carolina.
Really? I didn't realize.
At the Garden, it gets crazy.
It is insane. It's gone up so much now. I mean, because it's like, what, like 3,000 ice
level? Well, if you want to get ice level or something like that, yeah, but it's more around like, if you're talking like in the 400s at the top for like, especially, let's just say we're saying like, you know, God forbid, but there's a Game 7, let's just say, they're starting at like $800, $900 a piece. Yeah. And piece. So if you did double that, and then again, that's also that's before taxes and fees.
Yeah, and good luck getting two together too, because sometimes I've seen
the. Well, they have they have some of the most annoying thing where like you cannot get tickets where it would leave a seat like they call it like an island, in the sense of like where there'd be, let's just say there's three seats taken on one side and then three seats taken on the other side. You can't do that because they'll leave that seat in the center there of neither party. It would just be a single seat.
Right.
So they also try to make you buy them in like sections of four.
Right.
Because it's just like, oh, well, if you're like, that was one of the biggest things of trying to get me, Juliana, and Melissa to go to a game, because it was three of us.
Right.
I was like, well, you can't sit here because then, you know, you'll do, so you have to, and then if you get aisle seats, well, aisle, that's priority seating, so you get more expensive.
Right.
Because if you sit in the center of the section and you take up three seats, but there's four available, they don't let you do that. Mm-hmm. So, like, the way that they just, like, kind of, you know, shoehorn you into getting these, because then again, like, I ended up buying aisle seats because that was the only way we could really do that, and then like I said, oh, the aisle seat is priority, so that's like whatever the price of the seats are that section, add in like $30 for that one aisle seat,
you know.
So it's the Garden, it's crazy.
Now I know it's 1976, but I went to the, you know, the Yankees going to the World Series, they were, you know, I went to the playoff games, they played Kansas City, we were sitting in the upper deck first base side. And I looked at my ticket because I'd found the tickets. They were $6.50. Now, I know things have changed since 76. But you just think $6.50, you can't even get a program. Now, I know it's like 40-some years.
But still, even if you were to account for like modern inflation, it would be like maybe like, I think it'd be, that would come up to be probably about like $90 to $100 now would maybe be not what I'm thinking. Just even if we like upped it, because if you're with consistent with inflation, just regular, it wouldn't be. It would.
But it's just funny, like growing up at 17 years old, you're at the, you know, and you got the whole thing. You know,
bottle of water at most, not even just the Garden, at most is $13.
Right.
So inflation stuff aside, that is not that. Well, $6.50 a bottle of water is $13.
Yeah, it's captive audience.
We went to like, we used to go to concerts when I was, you know, a kid, you know, and you'd walk on the streets and like two blocks before you go on the concert, people were selling shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could buy the concert t-shirt. It was like $12 or like, you know, and they were nice, you know, and you go, oh, wow, I got them seeing the Who, I want to diss there, see a Tull, whatever, you know. Now you go into the vet, you can't, they take all, you can't even get a concert t-shirt on the street anymore because the vendors are just arrested or their stuff is taken from. But we went to see U2, like in Vegas, the hoodies were like 90 something bucks or 100. I'm like, oh my God. Because I was thinking, well, I'll get one, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, $100. The drinks were like, forget it. Like, you know, 25 or, you know, whatever. Now I know they're, it's inflation, whatever. But you're
it's
just like,
it's,
you know,
captive audience.
Exactly. But you're looking and going, oh, maybe I can get a program. But I'm like, then I got to worry about, is somebody going to spill, if I get it beforehand or I get it. And then after trying to get something, I was just going to look then everybody was like swarming around it. But when it was going up the escalators, I could see the price. I'm like, 90, what is that? Like, I know they're expensive to begin with, you know, like just a regular hoodie is, you know, whatever, but you just put U2 and the Sphere on it and it becomes what a $30 hoodie that wouldn't be is now 100 and something, or it's just crazy.
Which to me, I was more of a person that thought that, like, and of course they would never do this, but like, you could get, it's not like you had to go to the Sphere to get the U2 Sphere shirt. Like, they try to sell that merch online, right, like months before, right, for the same price. I'm one that's thinking, if I am I a fan and I paid and I'm at the venue, there should be a discount on them them being at the venue. Yeah. But no, they're upcharged than they even are on their site. So even if you were, it would be cheaper for you to go online and buy them from their official store before you even went, because it's like, I thought that it would be, you know, you're going, you paid to go see it, where a lot of people wouldn't necessarily pay to do it. They would just get the merch online.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would be nice and give you, but no, they'd upcharge you.
No, that's how they make their money. And it, but I do miss when you'd go to a concert and there'd be, you know, one side of the street, this guy's got one, you know, front and back, and this girl's got, hey, I did this. And the artwork sometimes were really cool on it. You know, they had like really great shirts, but those are just like, you can't get a vendor. Like, even if you wanted to, like, Rangers play, like somebody made a shirt up, you know.
Oh,
like,
no, yeah.
Said this is our, you know, seventh heaven or something. This is our seventh game. We're going, you know, what? You can't get, you got to buy all that merch in, as you said, in the garden. Mm-hmm. And they're not cheap.
No.
T-shirts, sweatshirts.
There's like one site that sells like Ranger stuff that's like called like We Bleed Blue, and it's like they also have like a affiliation.
A
license.
Is that their travel? You can buy tickets to travel with them too, can't you? Do they
maybe,
do they offer you, like, because I know there's Big Blue for the Giants, you, it's like you can get,
I don't, I know that they just make like merch that's like, you know, custom, like, you know, stuff that you're not going to necessarily see at the garden, like it's got like Rempy's, like Fight Club, something like that,
right, their stuff,
but they are like officially licensed through this, so it's like they'll also be at the garden that, but yeah, there's no, there's only, I can only think of one
MSG's
place
getting their money
that, you know, sells stuff that's Ranger stuff that's not the garden, and it's the, through them. Like,
you
through,
yeah, you have
get,
to get licensed through
yes,
them too.
It is not,
it's not the way it used to be. It's
yes.
Not, yeah, no.
No,
everything's very corporate.
Yeah, exactly. Corporate. And I get it. You want, it's, you know, it's a capitalistic world, and it still is. And, you
very
know,
so.
People want to make money, and I get it. You just miss, like, that concert vibe of, like, going and then there's people hawking you a cheaper shirt rather than going in and saying, all right, I gotta pay whatever for this. But yeah, I was thinking about, like, should I get something before we went, but I said, you know, it's cooler to get it because you're there.
Yeah,
you know, they're gonna
nice.
Make
that's
you know,
how they get you though too.
Yeah, you're gonna make one special thing, but then I was like, you know, we're trying to get to our seats and you want to get there and take in the whole atmosphere and everything. And I'm going, well, should I go get a drink? And then I said, ah, you know, whatever. We had a couple of cocktails before and whatever. And then you're just like, you're sitting in and the whole thing is going on. Then when you leave, you're like, oh, I'd like to get. And then I'm like, ah, I can't. Can't justify it. I mean, I saw them. I got pictures of it. Thank God you were able to. Because when we saw Bono, what he did is like one-man show. They took your phones and put them in those
Faraday cages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you couldn't, you know, and you'd have to go to a certain spot, so you couldn't, like, just film a little bit of it. Somebody had, like, a second phone. I noticed that they were doing a little bit of it and whatever, but I was like, I don't want to get in trouble or, you know, you have that second, because the tickets were on your phone, too.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. I missed tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I missed tickets.
I miss having a ticket stop.
What was cool is when we went to see the Knights. When you went in, they gave you a ticket.
Oh, they did?
Like, they gave, which I have in the room here. Yeah, they give you, like your seat on it, and you're at the gate. So you, but you have to, get your ticket
you
first.
Yeah, they do it on the phone.
Yeah, they do it on the phone, and you're worried about, is my phone down or whatever. And then when you, after that, then when you walk through the second thing, when they clear you, they go, oh, here, you take this. And it's just like a, you know, like a, that you were here, and it was so that was pretty cool. But I miss just getting the
tickets. I miss physical tickets too.
I do. I like having the ticket with me because you could save them. And now they're big money. If you had tickets like for like Michael Jordan's first game, or, you know, or Larry Bird's last game at the Garden, they're going for thousands and thousands of dollars tickets. It's amazing. Like, people will buy them in the, you know, for memorabilia stuff. It's crazy. I wish I had stayed, because I saw Jordan at the Garden once, and I don't have the tickets. I tried to find that ticket stub, but it was like his second year in the league. I was like, how cool would that be to have it? But I can't find that, you know, but things happen and you lose tickets and whatever. But it's just, I miss that rather than just having it on the phone.
I have all the Rangers tickets from when I went at my office.
Yeah, it's cool to have them. And so, because I did that at the desk. I put a glass over it, and like concerts when I saw Frampton or the Who, or, you know, the Ranger playoffs in the, you know, the late 90s and 2000s, whatever. But it's just missing tickets. And mm-hmm. I guess I'm past my prime, though, maybe, with that.
We all feel that, though.
It is cool to have that. Yeah. When you
physical stuff.
That physical ticket, rather than just walk out with it. So any shows we're watching, any movies we're looking forward to, or do we just want to end it on the Rangers winning tonight and Michael having a safe trip to Myrtle Beach? And you won't have to worry about watching.
Yes.
Have to worry, Michael.
The only thing I'd say is watch season two of The Jinx. It's as good, if not better than the first, then let's go Rangers.
Let's go Rangers. Yeah. And Mikey, safe trip. You'll have nothing to worry about. They're going to, now that they know, now that this is out there, and the Rangers know, they're going to win tomorrow night for you.
Yeah, so they'll know, because I'll be going.
To it on the bench.
We know. Yeah, yes. They don't want to be like, we got to win it. I think in the locker room, chant's going to be before the game tomorrow night, let's win it for Mike.
I think so.
I think that's how we're going to end it. Let's win it for Mike.
Meg Kreider, so you got an ear.
I have Meg Kreider. So I kind of have that thing. And I'll never forget that. I called Mike up and I go, Mike, you'll never believe who I just met. And you were home from school. And I said, I met Chris Kreider, and I got you the... Man, that was a cool day, too.
So
that
just, was cool. I know we talked a lot about how expensive the garden is, but if you'd ever like us to have us there...
We would
never boo you.
Listen,
we would never boo the Rangers.
I still pay for tickets, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it's expensive, but I still go.
It's just the way it is. It's a capitalistic world, and we're very happy. And you know what? If we had the money, we'd be willing to pay for it. You know what I mean?
Well, why they can pay, because you know what? All these fans pay for it.
You got that right. And if you want a compass, Mr. Dolan, owner of the Knicks and Rangers and the Garden.
And the Sphere, too.
And the Sphere. I loved it. I love the Sphere. We love the Garden. There's nothing. When we used to go for basketball, it was John Condon. He goes, welcome to the magical world of Madison Square Garden. That's how they would enter. It was incredible. The old, you know, my old Knicks teams and what the Garden. There is a magic there. I mean, absolutely. I know they say that in a lot of arenas, but there is something about New York with basketball and hockey. Those teams, when they're good, and that crowd, it's amazing. But we'll leave it at that. Mikey's going to have a safe trip. He's not going to have to worry about anything, and we'll do this again very soon. So thanks for listening.